something. They have figured out the formula for chaos.
When the clock strikes 8:30, babe, time to head for Chris's house.
Hey.
Will the song make it to the next round?
Bono.
Pot of thunder. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
Put your hands together for Doc Gibbs and the Emerald Live Band.
What was that giant saxophone called?
Contrabass saxophone.
I think I heard a contrabass saxophone.
Well, Doc Gibbs and the band are always upping their game here on Pot of Thunder.
I thought I heard Randy Quaid and Caddyshack 2 there for a minute.
A little howling.
Barking like a dog at a conference table.
Welcome to the show, Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by patreon.com/potofthunder. Something for everybody. Go check it out. You're going to love it. If you got any ideas, suggestions, things you don't like, things you love, let us know. We'll work with you. I'll cut you a deal. Wow. Under the table.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it'll be above board is what I meant to say. You know me. You owe me money. It's your buddy, Andy. America's
so much.
Little brother.
So much money.
So much money. They're just not paying it.
The drawer's looking a little light.
Mm-hmm. At what point are they going to cough it up? I want to know. Ladies and gentlemen, he's getting up. He's ready. He's going to do it for you like he does each and every week. Mick Pollock has entered the program, and he's left his mark on me. He's a bushwhacker, isn't he?
Yeah.
He left his mark on my head. Come on, I got a baseball hat today.
You do?
What is that one? See, it's usually a little fedora with feathers in it. This one's a...
Chicago American Giants.
Chicago American Giants. Is that the Negro League team?
Yes. It's the. There's a flag, actually, in, I believe, left field. Mm. At I'm just going to call it Comiskey. Mm. Currently, they have the flag for that team up over there.
Nothing at Wrigley. What does that say about
the
those
wrong
people?
Wrong neighborhood up there.
Mm-hmm. Racist bastards. Well, Nick, welcome to the show. I'm going to give you your hat back. I don't want to. I'll keep the cape. I'll give you,
can
you
have
your hat.
The cap.
Yeah. Here we go. Now we're ready for podcasting. Nick, thanks for joining us, and directly to your left, you own him. We got him.
I can have it every day, yeah, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah, fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. Chris L's in the house. What's up, dude?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Here we are. March Madness happening. You getting into that?
Not till tomorrow.
Oh,
Michigan State plays.
Okay, but it did start today, right?
It did, yeah.
Your team's Michigan State, for those who don't know. So we'll see how that goes this weekend.
I have them in a pool that I'm in, or whatever you want to call it. They're one of my teams I've randomly drawn.
Oh, it's one where you just get a team, one team?
It was split up among eight people, so
okay,
it's eight
okay.
teams. And then whoever takes it all.
Winner take all?
That's it.
How much bread we talking?
$100.
All right. Hey, that's not bad.
I'll take it.
You got to do the math on that. What'd you put in, 12?
No. Didn't put in anything.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just there.
Okay. It's just money.
It's just there hanging from the rafters. There's a ladder underneath it. Who's going to get it?
Somebody offered you $100 to be friends with them. That's nice. Potentially.
To hang out for a couple of weeks.
It's nice. Well, best of luck to you guys. Chris, you in any of that stuff? Or are you just watching and enjoying as a fan?
Yeah, I don't do the brackets.
No?
I've done it probably since college.
It's been a while for me too. Never even close, I don't think.
I don't know enough about college basketball to really make a good run at it, and I don't like guessing or just playing that game, so I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, brackets, fantasy football, I don't do any of it.
Unfortunately, there aren't too many outlets to get your gambling wiggles out.
Right.
These days, so
it's not, if it's
you really got to go looking.
If it's not a prescription drug commercial, it's a gambling commercial. If you're watching TV at this point,
at some point, I feel like they're hand in hand. You're gonna end up needing both.
That's true. It's the cause and the remedy, is it?
Yeah, it could go either way, really.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what I don't feel is very much of a gamble. I feel like you can put all your chips on.
What? Oh, look at that. Is it baked?
It is.
Yay.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
What do we got over there?
Got a corner piece or a middle piece. You got a preference?
I'll take the middle.
All right.
That's where I always like
to be. Corner of a circular thing originally, it looks like. Is that correct?
Not really. Just on the edges, it did kind of... there's a bit of a fillet, if you will, on the edges. Hmm. But...
I don't know that word.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. What is that?
Just in the corners coming to a bit of a radius instead of just a 90-degree angle.
Thanks for teaching us a new word.
You're welcome.
I thought that was a female horse. All right. Learning something today. So what do we got here? What is this?
We got what was the name of it? I think it was Magic Chocolate Graham Bar.
Is this like those Muddy Buddies or whatever?
Kind of. Sorry, Chris. I see you got some on your shirt there.
Oh, shit.
That's my bad.
I was admiring that shirt from a distance. I meant to bring it up.
You might want
to
get rid of it now.
Yeah. No good now.
Covered in powdered sugar.
Oh. Damn.
But
it was a nice shirt.
I'm told it's good. I haven't tried one yet, but...
Sugar all over it, chocolate inside.
It's really every ingredient could be eaten on its own, and it's good. It's one of those things.
Okay.
It's cinnamon graham cracker, ground to powder, if you will. Mm. Chocolate chips, pecans, vanilla. I think I used the bourbon vanilla.
Mm.
And I think a pinch of salt. And then my favorite... 2 cans of sweetened condensed milk.
Oh, your death row last meal.
Yes, it is.
That's one of my favorite revelations.
Well, you got to think about these things.
That's true.
Before you know it, you find yourself in this situation.
That's happened
And you're not prepared.
Yep. Well, you are, just in case it happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen here today. We'll see how it goes.
Hopefully there's no... upheaval.
Yeah.
No coup going on here.
You never know. We'll see. What's going on here? Is it Nick's turn? Chris's turn? I can't remember.
I think it's Chris's turn. Yeah. Okay. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
So it's first pick since February for Chris, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe Andy did some maintenance on the listener submission list. There was an issue.
Oh, it works now.
Andy
yeah.
fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does.
It's my job. Fix things.
So
good news.
Yeah. So that
and
works.
So it's there and ready if Chris is partaking in it.
Yes, I am. Right. Going back to it. It's been a while.
It has. I'm going to quickly shuffle this here and organize it while we get ready to go back to it. What are your thoughts?
Back to the death row discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a couple weeks ago some guy got executed by firing squad here in America?
In America?
Yeah.
Really?
I can't remember the state, but it's still an option. And it was his choice, and he picked it.
Okay. Kind of respect that.
What state is that?
I can't remember.
Wow.
I would just lean towards Texas, but you never know.
Texas would be a safe bet.
Yeah. But while firing squad.
Firing squad.
I didn't even know they still do that.
Man, oh man, that's
Do you know the detail? Was it like the traditional, I don't know how many, but there's one one live bullet and the rest are duds or whatever?
The report I read was four guys all loaded with live rounds. I swear. I'm pretty sure that's
all with turrets just standing there.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I'm getting flashbacks to You Can't Do That on Television, for anyone out there who's familiar.
Did they have a firing squad?
There was a running gag that would every so often just, you know, like a 20-second vignette would come up of some sort of comedic situation having to do with the firing squad.
Mm. Okay, I don't remember that. I think it was a little before my time.
Yeah, they used to play reruns when I was younger, and you were probably still too young to really remember those.
Yeah. Well, firing squad, huh? I guess firing squad. You have a choice. Why not?
Was there the cigarette and everything? The cliched?
That I don't
blindfold
know.
And cigarette?
You know someone's recording it, right? There had to be a video of it.
People are recording everything.
There probably had to be a streaming. On the down low, prison guard doing a Patreon.
Somebody in the witness box had a selfie stick up.
Yep. Wouldn't surprise me. Wow. South Carolina. Thank you.
South Carolina.
Jeff Stroop, South Carolina.
Okay. They secede from the Union and they've got firing squads.
Wow.
They got Myrtle Beach, right? Or is that North Carolina?
It might be. I don't know. I think that might be North Carolina. I know Charleston is South Carolina, but maybe they have Myrtle. I don't know.
They got nice weather and firing squad as the option. So, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty hardcore.
Wow.
That's old school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, well, since you guys brought it up, and I had my mouth full of baked treat at the time, which was excellent, by the way.
Well, all right. Good to hear.
Myrtle Beach is South Carolina. Thank you, Jackie. There you go.
I was right.
Yeah.
So they have Myrtle Beach and a four-man live round firing squad to take you out if you've done something that egregious. Huh. Yeah, none of this woke shit where you have one guy with blanks, you know, to clear their conscience. Nope. If you're on the firing squad,
you're killing somebody.
You're doing it.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, like you said, you're there for a reason if you're on the firing squad. You probably don't have an issue about being a part of the firing squad.
Right.
Chances are you applied to be part of the firing squad.
I would love to be a part of
it. I don't think that's a demotion thing. You know what? You're on the firing squad.
Yeah,
you're either pounding a beat or you're on the firing
squad.
That's
actually the reward for employee of the month for the correctional department in South Carolina. So the most recent four winners get to be on the firing squad.
All right. Well, let's find out. I think you'll be able to see this.
Speaking of firing squad, I think that's what Andy and Brian Snyder called themselves when they went to the park and tried to hustle people with basketball, but maybe more on that later.
It did happen once.
Did you guys get shirts that said firing squad?
If we thought of it, we would have made them. I briefly brought this up to Nick, and he had no memory of it, but that happened. It was probably 2000 or maybe 1999. Yep. Tried to go.
What was it?
We just decided we were going to.
Were you thinking money was going to be involved?
No, I think we wanted to get our feet wet first, and then money was going to come later. We wanted to just give ourselves a shot. You know, see how we measured up against the local talent.
The Harrelson and Snipes of Northwest Indiana.
Harrelson.
It was probably the direct. Inspiration of the idea.
Snyder's got a little Snipes in him.
That's true. He does. Yeah. More on that later. We can tell the whole story. We'll see if it comes out, but yeah, Nick didn't remember that one.
No, but since we keep saying firing squad, I'm thinking it's a great thing to just have two guys and you take your sweaters off at the same time and that says it on your shirt.
Especially a pickup game like that.
Yeah.
And it was your first time ever being at that park. Just showed up and got in.
Yeah, hey, that's
a show of dominance akin to Big Dog over Big Bun that we talked about last week.
It's making a first impression, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, take me back. Let's go ahead and fire up the listener submission list. You ready for
fire four live rounds into that thing to get it going.
That is wild.
Isn't it, though?
It is.
Gotta love it. America.
Yeah, we'll shoot you. That's fine.
And it's your choice, too.
Yeah.
You have the option.
See, I haven't thought that far ahead. I just thought what I'm going to eat.
Yeah. You didn't think how you were going to go?
No, I didn't know that was I didn't know there was anywhere where it was multiple choice.
The execution was done in the same room as the lethal injection chair. So it was like in the background behind him when they put four bullets into his chest.
That is morbid.
It is. It's crazy.
They didn't even take him outside or anything.
No. Parking lot of a Wendy's.
Yeah, let you run around.
Stand you up next to the drive-through window.
Yeah, I would do that. All right, well, Nick, fire it up.
That's what this firing squad shot sounded like. Pew, pew.
Well, we've got number 1276. I don't know if Chris can see that. This highlighted one here. I don't know how that's showing up on your side.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. That's a no.
Oh, that's a no.
We've had
that's
some...
straight up no.
Yeah, Bushwick.
All right, well... Move along to the next trick. We don't want it! Nick, give me another...
We've had some whining on social media about how we don't do enough new discoveries on the show. It ain't happening tonight. And this is from a trusted pothead, too. I'm still not doing it.
All right.
It's ready.
10:59. We find our way to 10:59 here. Mm-hmm. Didn't we do that one?
Yeah, we did do that one.
What in the world?
That was a Nick pick for, September, I believe.
We're just going to quickly...
Or was that an and? Was that you?
No, it was Nick.
Yeah,
it was,
okay, yeah.
What I meant to say was 609 is the second pick. We're not even going to pull the thing again. 609. And I'll go back and X that one out later. 609 right here.
609. Whew. You don't say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say no to that one. You're familiar with the band. Yeah. I've not heard the song.
Okay. But. Well. Move along to the next trick. Nick, one more. 372, third and final, potentially.
Second pick was from another trusted pothead, by the way, but I'm not doing it.
372 here.
Oh, that's interesting. It would make Nick happy if I picked it, but I don't know if I'm in the mood for that. What else on the screen here? This is in alphabetical order of artist.
Yeah.
Scroll down to the P's. I want to see if something is on this list I was thinking about. Keep going. Nope. Damn.
Not on there, huh?
Oh, you know what? Keep going down. Keep going. No, up. Okay. It's time. 8:15 is what we're doing.
Right here?
Yep. The time has come. It's happening.
Do you know the album?
I don't. Was it up there? I think I noticed it, but... Yeah, I see it now.
Got it?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called...
Rain Over Me.
Off of...
Planet Pit.
By the band...
Pitbull.
Oh, man.
The time has come.
I don't know this one.
Well, your boy Mark Anthony is the co-vocalist on this one. So.
Okay. This is from Colleen Houston. Hey, Colleen. Colleen says, at the time of submitting this, November 10th, 2023, wow, there has not been a Pitbull episode, and we need to give Chris L. and the people what they want and what they need, Mr. Worldwide, featuring a former September artist, Mark Anthony.
Wow,
exactly what you said.
Does anybody know Pitbull's birth name?
Anybody? I know it, of course.
You do know it, okay.
Does it have anything to do with either Pit or Bull?
No. No.
Okay. I was hoping it did. What
you
is
want
it?
Me to say it?
Sure.
Armando Perez.
Armando Christian Perez. Yep,
there you go. Wow.
Born the year after me. He's younger than I am.
Is he really?
81.
Hmm.
You know, it's one thing when all the athletes that you're watching are younger than you.
Yeah. But then...
But then the highly regarded musical entertainers are also all younger than you. Hmm. Well, a lot of the... dinosaurs are still holding on, but Pitbull's a young man still.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Jerry Kern said I have to go wash my hair. Oh Lord, from Fielding Fowler. Yeah.
So well, if your hair washing regimen also includes a pubic hair trim, that's more easily done with an erection, which you will get when you listen to this song, so you might want to reconsider stepping away.
I guess that would make sense. It would be easier with an erection.
Can you maintain such a thing when there's an electric trimming device?
Yeah, that can be part of the thrill, depending what kind of fella you are.
My goodness.
I don't know.
Or if you just, you simply understand the task at hand and...
be more like Da Vinci's David at that point. Fight or flight mode.
Right, exactly. But yes, it's time. This is I think we talked about this song recently. I said something like this would be my opening number if I was a Pitbull tribute band or something. I can't remember the exact discussion, but
so was this
would be my.
Did this one get a lot of play? Like, was it a standout song?
It's one of his big songs.
Oh, it is, okay. Because just from the title of it, I do not know it.
Hmm.
But no, you don't consume a lot of Pitbull.
Not
music,
a lot. So. No, I have my favorites.
You do?
Yeah.
Good. So you don't dislike Pitbull?
No, no. I became a moderate fan of his from the New Year's Eve specials and even a little bit before that.
Just his TV appearances.
Yeah, so, basically. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I like what this guy's doing.
There's Planet Pit.
Yeah, for me, it was the Behind the Music special that, or episode about him that solidified it for me. Might be all bullshit, complete PR fabrication, but it made me an instant fan, his backstory and how he conducts himself these days.
That too, huh? See, I don't know enough. The only thing I know about Pitbull is what I've heard from you guys and the occasional thing I see on the internet, but I don't know much.
Didn't he go to, wasn't there some sort of like kind of started out as a joke online petition to get him to appear at a Walmart in Alaska or something?
I was going
to
say, it's one of the only things I know
he
about
He straight
him.
Up did it anyway. He didn't care if it was a goof.
Yeah.
He went to that Walmart, made that appearance.
It's funny, like I don't know the whole story behind it. But when you see it out of context, you just see, like, I don't know, we'll say it's eight Walmart workers, and they're standing in front of like a taxidermied grizzly bear or something, and it says,
or it might have been a real one.
It might have been a real. Might have been part of the group. Part of the group saying this, but it was like
might have been an employee up there.
Yeah, it was like, we want Pitbull to visit Walmart store number whatever, Anchorage, Alaska. And then the next picture, it's him with the same people with his arms out, standing with them. Like, here I am. You asked for it, and
I mean, that's great.
And he appears to be having a great time with these eight people in Alaska.
That's the thing about him that I enjoyed when I first discovered him.
Yeah.
There's something to it. Eddie Van Halen always smiling. There's That's something true. About it. It's, yes.
These people having a good time.
He's the guitar hero and all that stuff, but he's smiling the mm-hmm. whole time he's on stage. There's something about it when someone's able to convey that they're having a good time and enjoying themselves. And Pitbull, he certainly does that.
Hmm. Well,
Pitbull didn't, I asked AI, Pitbull did indeed visit a Walmart in Alaska, part of a promotional campaign. Mm-hmm. Walmart had a contest where the store with the most Facebook likes would get a visit from Pitbull. A writer from the Boston Phoenix, I don't know how that works, but anyway, newspaper jokingly suggested people should vote for Kodiak, Alaska. Walmart,
Kodiak, okay.
To send Pitbull to the most remote location possible. Well, to everyone's surprise, the campaign took off and Kodiak Walmart ended up with 70,000 likes. Pitbull, being a good sport, decided to follow through on his promise and visited the Walmart in Kodiak. So joke's on you, Mr. Boston Phoenix. You can't have two different cities in your newspaper name. Knock it off. What are you doing?
That's the most offensive part to you, huh?
Well, and I just love the fact that Pitbull's like, all right, I'm going.
Yeah, if you want me there, I'll be there. And again, having a great time. Smile on his
exactly.
face. Dressed. He's dressed as if he were where, you know, any other big city at a big appearance. He didn't show up and roll out of bed like he didn't care.
No, he doesn't seem like the guy who does that.
He's as we talk about it all the time in the show, the phoning in of things, that's not something Pitbull does ever. Hmm. So well, you gotta respect that. If nothing else, you have to respect that.
Well, I'm going to learn along with anybody out there who doesn't know, because I don't know this one. I only know very little Pitbull. So,
but you're a known Mark Anthony fan, so.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
Looking forward to what we hear.
It's a formidable twosome in this one.
What year was this again? Did we find that?
I don't know.
My mom likes Mark Anthony.
There you go.
She's listening.
She gets it. Hi, Mom.
2011.
She's... Yeah. She gets all the hot gossip about Mark Anthony these days.
Does she?
Yeah, ask her next time you see her.
I'll ask her tomorrow. Jamie Foxx. I'm looking at all the guest appearances in this 2011 album. There's a who's who right here. I don't know who that is, but...
It's a who's who and a who's that stuck who's in that?
There's T-Pain, Enrique Iglesias, Sean Paul, Chris Brown. Chris's buddy.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Playing the drums on International Love. Kelly Rowland, Red Foo, he got in there. He was hot at the time, huh?
Was he?
That was
you one making
of the,
that up?
That was one of the guys from, what is it, LMFAO. Remember those guys were real popular for like the summer?
Schwartz, what are you talking about?
Party rock guys or whatever?
Yeah, they were LFO?
No, not them.
That was your band.
They're all dead now.
They're like
Nelly.
They're like Body Count, unfortunately.
No kidding. Nelly, Jamie Foxx. Yeah, it's Ludacris. Oof. So Akon.
Oh, so this is the album that actually has Mr. Worldwide as the intro. That's my favorite piece of music by him.
Really?
Yeah, just something about that first track. It's not even like a full song, but it's great.
Dare we listen to it? That's 120. It's a little long, maybe 124. I don't want to add that.
Yeah, people can go seek it out if they want.
Yeah, we'll do that. Because this would be well over six at that point, right? Or no?
There's a song called Shake Senora. Or Senora, rather.
It's got to be good.
I'm not sure if that's a Beetlejuice reference, but...
I'm sure it is. Yeah, it's got Sean Paul on there. God, every time I went to a bar in my early 20s, I immediately heard Sean Paul yelling about him and Little John alternating.
Yeah.
God. All right. Well, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Rain Over Me. There's a reason we don't hear anything. I doubt that that's correct, right? I can't see Pitbull 7 seconds with no sound.
No.
That's wrong.
I think Jerry and Fielding are hacking in. Girl, my body don't lie. Right one.
What is he eyeing about?
I guess we'll find out.
Well, he was speaking earlier about rising so high, so this song is about his growing erection.
Oh, yeah, girl, my body don't lie. I'm out of my mind.
Exactly. That's, okay. So yes, this song is about a growing erection. What that has to do with something reigning over somebody else. Mm. You know, you people are people of the world. You can do the math on
maybe
that.
R-E-I-G-N. a show of dominance, perhaps.
Yeah.
That as well. Es el new 30, and baby, you a rockstar. Dale veterana que tú sabes más de la cuenta. No te hagas. Teach me, baby, a better yes. Freak me, baby, yes, yes. I'm freaky, baby. I'ma make sure that your peach feels peachy, baby. Oh boy.
He did it now.
Does he have a little bit of an Austin Powers thing going on here lyrically with the? I don't know.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Peachy baby and all that stuff.
It's possible.
Yeah.
He enjoys his wordplay, I will say.
Does he always rap or does he sing as well? I don't know.
To my knowledge, I've never heard him sing per se.
So he usually almost always has somebody with him singing like the main hook of the song and then he does.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
The opening track he kind of sings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The one that's my favorite, the minute 20 song, whatever. Yeah, I'd say that one counts as singing.
Hmm. Fielding Fowler says Red Foo is Berry Gordy's kid, the Motown founder.
I did not know.
Bruce, not Bruce Leroy. No, Rockwell was his nephew. What? Berry Gordy produced.
That, oh yeah,
the Last Dragon. But no, Rockwell wasn't he.
Bruce Leroy.
But wasn't Rockwell his nephew or something?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. He was related. Or is it one of those things where people just said it in the 80s and then no one cared enough to Google it?
Sorry, Rockwell. And people are still just kind of speculating.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
I believe you.
I mean, Michael Jackson's on the song, so.
Tommy Lombardozzi says Rockwell was Quincy Jones's son. Is that right?
No. I don't think so.
If we only had the internet.
So his sister is Rashida Jones, is what he's saying?
That's what he's telling us, or at least half sister. I don't know.
I'm not sure. It could be.
I don't know a lot about Quincy, but I'm going to assume he sired several children with different women.
It's probably a safe bet.
Nora Jones, not his daughter.
Potentially.
Ravi Shankar's daughter.
Well, both of them together.
Nora Jones is Ravi Shankar's daughter.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
Wild.
Who is her mother? A pill of Ambien? I mean, her music is a sleep aid. You listen to it, you fucking nod off. It's like the only artist I've ever heard in my life is zero energy coming off of her. Yet she's this massive star. I don't get it.
Rockwell, the son of Motown founder Berry Gordy. Tommy.
That's what I thought I'd heard.
Yeah. Relatives include half-siblings, Red Foo, among others. So, I think Tommy heard an old rumor back in the 80s that was incorrect. All right, let's keep going.
Wait. We didn't talk about the peach reference.
Oh, okay.
That's coming with that, you know. The thing about Pitbull is he's got a lot of, well, certainly his older stuff is really, definitely adult themed, but I think it, when he became, went more mainstream, became, instead of Mr. 305, he became Mr. Worldwide. He, cleaned up his act a bit, but I know there's like clean and dirty versions of his music out there, but he's always, pushing that envelope of what you can include lyrically in a song and still have it be like mainstream.
Yeah.
And the I'm a make sure that your peach feels peachy, baby. I mean, for that, the pop song gets pretty. That's pretty great.
So, what song is it where he? What I was saying about the wordplay stuff, where he quoted. Well, flipped it around a little bit, but he quoted Julius Caesar. Who was it? Or was it Alexander the Great? I don't remember. But with the original is I came, I saw, I conquered. Mm-hmm. And I believe Pitbull's was I saw, I conquered, I came.
Well, he said them both. He said the original first, okay. And then he flipped it around.
So that's what reminded me of that, is he seems to enjoy the cheeky wordplay.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah, that one is in Fireball, I believe.
That's probably it. That's another one that I've heard probably more than others.
Now, a good opening line to this next stanza here. I like it.
All right. Sorry, give me a second. Pop that back. Yeah, we'll go over it. There. Okay. Baby, no bullshit bras. I like my women sexy, classy, sassy, powerful, yes. They love to get a little nasty. Ow. This ain't a game, you'll see. You can put the blame on me. Dale muñequita, abra ahí, and let it rain over me.
I think that was some sort of fish dish that he just named. Not sure.
So what happened there?
What happened there?
Yeah.
He used the word bougie.
I've heard that word.
I didn't know that's how it was spelled.
It's not spelled that way. It's spelled wrong on Apple Music.
Isn't that Bougie Phillips's? Isn't that how you spell her name?
I've heard that word. I honestly don't know what it means.
Bougie?
It's a French thing, right? Like bourgeoisie.
Yeah, like somebody who's, opulent, fancy.
Oh, okay.
High maintenance.
Putting up appearances of wealth and prestige, sometimes without any actual money to back it up. But you really didn't know what bougie meant?
No.
Yeah, that's it.
I've heard people say it, but I've never, in one ear out the other, never really grasped what it meant or used it or anything. So he doesn't like... he just likes his women sexy, classic, and sassy.
He doesn't like people putting on postures, it seems.
I don't believe him.
You think he likes people who put on postures?
I bet if we Google search, he'll be proven wrong.
He went to Alaska. He went to Kodiak, Alaska.
He didn't show who took the picture.
I'm sure it was someone who was an authentic version of themselves.
Yeah.
It was a series of bougie broads with camera equipment. Right.
The bougiest broads in Kodiak, Alaska were there for the event.
Yeah.
What did you say, Nick, about his fish order?
Whatever he said in Spanish.
Muñequita.
I nearly ordered that one.
Abre ahi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So two staple menu items at Bonefish Grill are his favorites.
Yeah, okay. Oh, they love to get a little nasty. Ow. Okay.
Yeah, I like the ow.
Yeah. All right, Pitbull.
Yeah, we're kicking back, bringing back Andy's guy here for the chorus.
That's good. He takes it home.
Let it rain over me. I'm rising so high out of
So it's, I'm assuming that this is not a sample from any other pre-existing song, because I know he does like to take at least a melody that's well known from a, from an, you know, like in rap music, it happens all the time. Take a hook from somewhere and maybe put new lyrics to it or flip it around. This one, I'm guessing, is this. It's just original to this song.
Collaboration, yeah.
So that's interesting, because I know several of his songs that were bigger, you know, some of his bigger hits seem to seem to be doing that. They'll grab a hook from somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything. It doesn't. It looks like it's an original written by them and some other, like four more people, like a gang of people. The two singers here and then whoever their in studio folks were who wrote together. So it's an original.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like something that would exist.
It does.
But
it sounds like, I don't want to say familiar as if it's stolen, but like comfortable, like you've...
Yeah, like, you know. It, like the chorus sounds like something Ricky Martin would have had a hit with or something like that.
Yeah. What does that mean? Voli's a new vodka? Or the new vodka? What does that mean? I don't even know what that
is. I don't know. Is that a brand of spirit that we're not aware of?
Something he's selling. I don't know. Gotta get that out
Andy's
there.
Andy's looking up. How
okay.
much is it?
Thought I was joking. Does Pitbull own Voli Vodka? Voli 305 is made in the heart of trendsetting Miami.
That's great.
Dude, he's pulling the Lou Rawls bit, dropping product placements in the songs, except he owns the product. Yep. So that's even
that's great.
Better move.
The founder and owner, global superstar Armando Christian Perez Pitbull, has created a new vodka brand that represents his hometown and enthusiasm for enjoying life, in all caps. Save time and money with a case.
All right. How much?
All those trips back and forth to the liquor store, eliminate those.
Yeah. We get a case.
I wonder if it's still in business. How old is this song?
It was 2011.
14 years.
Yeah, it's possible it's been, what do you call it, white labeled by now?
Who would it be now? I don't even know who it would go to. I'm out of the loop, I can't even make a joke of who it would be.
I don't know who's even popular at this point that's in the same vein as a pit bull.
It looks like it's still happening.
Okay.
So, good for him if it is.
That's...
Unless people are selling old bottles, you know? I'm looking at my phone. It's, you can order it from all these online retailers.
What I want to know is, can I get one on the way home?
You might be able
tonight.
To. All right. Let's see. What happens next? Sorry. He said Latin is the new majority. Ya tu sabi. I don't know that one, but my Spanish is no bueno. Mommy, you know the drill. They won't know what I got till they read the wheel. I ain't trying to keep it real. I'm trying to keep wealth and that's for real.
I like that line. They won't know what I got till they read the will. That's pretty good.
So does that mean he's not showing his wealth? Is that what he's saying? He's keeping his cards close to the
best?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, people have an idea, but they won't know. He's not going to go telling everybody.
It's kind of interesting because that's not a common sentiment in these types of club songs where you're trying to attract women.
No, it's quite the opposite. Yeah. You say you have more than you actually do.
Right. Unless that's what he's saying.
But I think that's probably what he's saying, why he's the alpha.
That could be
in
it.
This setting.
Well, I also think that's part of the mystery, that you don't know how much or how little he has, but just the way he conducts himself, common sense would lead you to believe that he's not hurting for money or material possessions or any of that stuff. So, if anything, he's you know, being the same as he expects from his ideal woman, not bougie. But you know, he's got the means to back it up if he wanted to be.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of this sort of stuff is not, I will say a lot of rap music, there's so many lyrics, just rapid fire. They're not always great.
Yeah.
But when there's a line like that, I'm like, oh, that's
yeah,
caught my attention. That's really good. I'm a fan.
You know the drill. They won't know what I got till they read the will. When I kick the bucket, there'll be a bill, probably. The way things have been going. You owe me money. Patreon.com/potofthunder.
It's in the song lyrics.
Yeah. Tíramelo, mami, chula. No games, you see. You can put the blame on me. Dale, muñequita, abre ahí. And let it rain over me. My body don't lie. I'm out of my mind. Let it rain over me. All right, I have a weird thought as I'm listening to this and just taking it all in for the first time.
This is the podcast to put it out there.
Put it out there. So I never spoke a second language fluently. You know, it took high school and college classes, and then as soon as it was over, forgot everything.
Yeah,
I had to
yeah.
learn for a test. But there's a thought I've had several times where people who know more than one language, if they have a different personality in a different language, if that makes sense. Like, because the words you choose when you speak kind of are part of your personality. If it's like you're not exactly the same person speaking two languages,
if you have to be more, perhaps more upfront and forceful,
yeah,
in a certain language,
yeah,
because
yeah.
just the words aren't there to,
yeah, exactly,
to pad it a little bit softer,
sure. yeah, or maybe you're funnier in one language, you know,
it could be
intentionally or unintentionally, whatever it is.
I've wondered if you know two languages, which one do you think in?
Sure, that too. You'd think it would be the first one, but what if it's not? What if you live in the other country and you get so accustomed to it that it could be a mishmash of everything? But what I was thinking while this was happening, he's kind of doing two different personalities in these two languages. The Spanish voice is different than the English voice.
Yeah, the Spanish voice has more of a, I guess he's getting more sultry.
Yeah.
As he's like a little more of a lazy tongue
mm-hmm.
when he's doing the Spanish.
That's exactly what I was listening
yeah.
to, what I was noticing. It's two different people in two different languages.
That is interesting.
I don't know. He sounds hornier in Spanish.
I think most people do, I think. I think that's a safe thing to say.
They sound angrier.
Angrier
everything,
in German?
They no. sound everything
Oh, in Spanish. Okay.
Yeah.
Or it could be the thing. So my mom, her whole family was from Spain. She mm-hmm. was born here, but her parents came over through Ellis Island. And so she was the first generation of the family to be born here in the United States. But, you know, fluent in Spanish. And I was always convinced she would occasionally lapse into Spanish, and I just was convinced that she did that when she didn't want me to know what the hell she was talking about. So, mm-hmm.
Well, that's different ethnicity, but my mom and her sister,
mm-hmm.
I remember riding in the back seat, and when they would go into Polish,
mm-hmm.
they were like, all right.
You knew something was going on?
Someone's getting talked about.
You're the only other person there.
Yeah.
Yeah, why else would you lapse into Polish in that situation?
You hear a bunch of Polish words and then Spanakopita, and then they roll their eyes while they're eating their hot dogs
in
the front.
They say Spanakopita in Polish.
Unbelievable, Nick. All right, let's keep going.
I was playing with her, she was playing with me.
Wasn't expecting any of this. This little breakdown
here. You know, likes to mix it up and not going straight into threesome talk.
Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, someone just wandered into the room. Yeah. I guess that's what happens when you're Mr.
It's
Worldwide.
A interesting sound, like a. Trying to think of what other song that reminds me of, but just like a double tracked kind of monotone delivery like that.
Yeah.
It'll come to me.
Okay. What's that high-pitched thing happening?
That's Mark Anthony, I think.
Is it?
I think it is.
It was.
I told you.
Wow, I thought that was an instrument. No, just let him rip there.
Yeah.
Good for Mark. Maybe he's emulating the sounds that were happening among these three.
He was he was holding that note for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was
like Bruce Dickinson or something.
Or Axel at the end of Don't Cry or something. I don't know.
Except I would actually believe if someone told me Mark Anthony was having intercourse in the vocal booth instead of that bullshit story.
Yes, he's exactly right. Yes. Yeah, you nailed it there. The nonsense that came out about them. No.
Yeah.
These two, you believe some adult activity occurred in the studio.
Yep.
There it is.
Track three.
Straight up club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Club music.
2011.
That breakdown just occurred to me. It had hints of Poker Face by Lady Gaga. It was kind of taking a nod from that, sort of some of the melodies in that.
Okay.
And that came out before. This, did it?
Yeah, I think that would have probably been like 3 or 4 years before this.
So I think he was, you know, tapping into that winning formula.
Yeah, that was huge at the time. All right, it's time to vote. Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. Chris, you're choosing this song off the list via Colleen. Give us a vote.
Sweet Surrender, of course.
It's Sweet Surrender.
Great jam. Forgot how many of the lyrics are in Spanish, and I was trying to find a decent translation. I couldn't find it, but kind of like when my mom would speak in Spanish. Do I really want to know what it means? Probably not. So it's not important.
And it's the tone, right?
I was gonna say we could kind of guess what's going on or what's being pitched with the tone, even if we don't know the exact words. Well, we get it. We know what he's trying to do here.
Right. Yes. With the peach references and the threesome references.
Yeah, you could fill in the blanks for the rest
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, this is one of my... I would say this is in my top three Pitbull songs. So, and the inclusion of Mark Anthony, I mean... Even... Especially Andy is going to acknowledge it. He's a big Mark Anthony fan across the board, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I'm laughing because I like Mark Anthony. Whenever I hear him sing, I don't own any. I've never owned any of his music, but he's like kind of how maybe how Nick's feeling about Pitbull in his life in the last few years. Like, this guy isn't like my this isn't really my scene, but I respect this guy, and anytime I hear one of his songs, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about Mark Anthony.
Well, I feel like if you like I Need to Know, which you clearly do since you brought it to the show, he never really deviates from that style of vocal, you know, or that, you know, vocal inflection or something. So if you like that, you're going to pretty much like his entire catalog.
Well, then I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'll vote next. I'm going to give it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender.
I'm just looking at some of the comments. Not a ton of positive comments here, but this is a small sample size of who's joining us live as we're recording this. But it's good to know how everybody's feeling about it. Jackie said, Red One, same producer as First Gaga. So, same producer on this as Poker Face. So, something to that. Good call. Thank you, Jackie, for that. First time hearing this, I think, unless I, you know, walked into a restaurant, bar, wherever, and heard this song in the background, and it didn't really register. 2011, I don't think I was really going out much anymore, so it's likely that I completely missed this one. I think I did, but I enjoyed myself. A toe tapper in the right context and in the right circumstance, it works for me. Nick?
I'll give it a Sweet Surrender as well.
It's Sweet Surrender.
I'll say the thing I like best about it is just some of the wordplay, especially that one line that Pitbull threw out there about the will.
Mm-hmm.
Just clever little playful little lyrics like that. I enjoyed that quite a bit. It definitely, the chorus, you know, that's a hook for sure. You know, it's going to like stay in people's heads. And musically, that's probably the only real, I wouldn't say complaint, but the only thing is that there's not much that I remember about it from a musical standpoint. It's just kind of
a dance beat with
it's a dance beat. It's there really wasn't anything that separated it from
Fielding Fowler says, I don't want wordplay from Pitbull. I want ass play.
We just got wordplay from Fielding. Yeah. So there you go. Thank you.
Back to Nick. What were you saying?
Oh, just that there wasn't really anything that set it apart from a lot of it. You know, it's an effective song that you'd hear in like a dance club.
Mm, yeah. Effective is the
effective,
key word.
Definitely. Yeah. Nothing terribly unique from that standpoint that my ear detected. But, I mean, Pitbull, with his personality, there's plenty of it on this track. I just called it a track. That's so pretentious. Why did I do that?
That was good.
Yeah, on this cut, it works for this one.
On this cut, he was... Mm-hmm. There's plenty of his personality on here. Mark Anthony sounds great. Mm. I'll ask my mom what he's up to. I'll call her on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Fun song as is his MO, right?
Yeah. Well, look at this.
All right, Hammond, I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley wants to know if Rain Over Me is a rock and roll boner classic, as voted by the three rock and roll boners in this room. He's debating in 2011 if they should release Monster or call Mark Anthony. They made the wrong choice. They called it Japanese girl group instead. What was that even called? I can't remember the name of the song.
Samurai Sun.
Samurai Sun.
What was the name of the girl group? I can't even remember it.
Momoiro something.
Something
Z,
like that.
Clover. I don't know. It was something strange. strange to my ear.
I wonder if they're playing that song at the Cubs games recently.
Oh, and because they're in Japan?
They're playing in Japan, right?
Did you see Rodney Peete caught a ball?
I did see that. He Bartman'd somebody.
He Bartman'd somebody from the Dodgers.
Very strange.
And it's Rodney Peete. Yeah. And then someone's like, Rodney Peete caught this ball. And then he responded and wrote, damn right I did. I didn't know I liked Rodney Peete so much.
People should own it like that.
Yeah.
Like, what did he do?
Yeah.
I did it.
I did that.
What are you going to do?
Mamoiro Clover Z. I was right. Look at me. Brain's working today.
Well, Rodney Peete. He's going to turn 59 this year.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So am I. So. I didn't realize he's the same age as
me. He's got you by a few months. Actually, he just turned 59 just a couple days ago.
Oh, there you go. He got a baseball for his birthday. Caught a foul ball.
Is he still married to Holly Randall Peete or whatever her name is?
I don't know. I would imagine. Who knows?
Yeah.
Unless she's a Felicia Rashad type, kicking men to the curb on the regular.
I'm going to say by his appearance at this baseball game, he's not married.
What's that mean?
He's in the outfield by himself in a hoodie in Japan, catching baseballs. He's divorced.
He has been married to Holly Robinson Peete since 1995.
They're still married. Okay.
Four children.
Good for them. I didn't mean what I said.
So this will be their 30th wedding anniversary.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I'm happy for them.
Former Lions quarterback.
They look incredibly happy with each other.
Yeah.
I like her whenever she pops up in a movie.
Well, so does he.
I think she's cast in the reboot of Bringing Down the House, so might change your tune on that. Although you shouldn't. I'm going to say it again.
No way.
A good movie.
Unbelievable. Hey, maybe it had something to do with my age and attitude at the time. It's probably like 20 years old.
I can see going into that with some preconceptions and being difficult to overcome those, but...
I don't even think it was preconceptions. I think it was showing up at the movies and what's playing next, and then going in there without even knowing what it is and being like, this is not the type of entertainment we're looking for at this age.
Right.
Why are we here?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You take a chance on it this stage in life, I think you'll appreciate it more.
All right.
I enjoy the fact that Rodney is leaning way over.
And damn right he did.
Yeah, and he's wearing an LA shirt.
Yeah.
And he's disrupting a Dodgers play.
Yeah.
Yeah, he essentially pulled a Bartman on
these paid.
Guys.
You know, he paid for that seat.
He did.
Or if he got it comped. Either way.
That's his seat.
That's his seat. The ball comes toward it. He can do whatever he wants.
What are you gonna? The guy, I don't know the outfielder's name. The left fielder looks irritated when he walks away.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
Honestly, Moises Alou, take it easy.
Yeah.
And plus, it's the first game of the season. Who cares about one foul ball? It's not like it was in the World Series, like the Bartman thing. I mean, that you can understand the gravity of it. This is the first fucking game of the season.
Yeah.
Put it in perspective.
If they lost because of that, guess what? The foul ball's not the problem.
The foul ball's not the problem, and the Dodgers' payroll is well over $1 billion, okay? They're going to win. They're going to the playoffs, and will probably win the World Series, regardless of what Rodney Peete did.
I don't know. If I'm on the American League side, I'm not sure what team is possibly going to face them.
Are you bringing Rodney Peete?
I'm thinking I keep Rodney in my Rolodex.
Treat him like a king. Put him right on the foul line.
I start courting Rodney King. I mean, Rodney Peete.
Now that would
treat
be
him
something.
Like a king.
Yeah.
Exhume Rodney King and put him in a seat near the foul line with a glove on his hand.
Oh, yeah, strange promotion.
Meant to say treat him like a king. It all got jumbled.
Yeah. But yeah, how bad it could have been. The Dodgers swept the Cubs, of course. Two-game series. I mean, they're going all the way. They've pretty much purchased every top player available. So
this is the year, huh?
Well, they won it last year,
yeah, but I mean,
too.
You can already tell after two games it's happening.
Yeah. Well, they've overcome the Rodney Pete
the curse.
Intrusion. Yeah.
We might have seen a new curse.
It was already...
They will not win the World Series now for 70 years.
Oh. I thought you said we were going to say it happened and they already defeated it.
Oh, well, yeah.
I like your version better.
Yeah. I like the Rodney King scenario best.
Rodney King night at the ballpark. Ay, ay, ay.
First 10,000 fans. I don't know.
Yeah, let's pull the plug out.
Get the body count CD.
Yeah, right. Before we get into trouble here.
Yeah. A couple thoughts ran through my mind. I'll leave them there.
Yeah.
But with the...
Yeah. If you're listening and you're offended, you thought of it, not
That's
us.
That's right.
Put it this way, you want to make sure that Rodney King night and Free Bat night are not the same evening. Things can get really out of hand.
To the listener, it's no longer your fault. It is out of your hands now.
Yeah.
You've been exonerated.
Yeah, it's now our fault.
This episode has just been Rodney Peted.
Yes. Yep. Fielding Fowler said Rodney Pete never showed that much athletic ability when he played for the Lions.
Mm. Yeah, he wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible. So,
all right,
but
you're never too old to peak. All of a sudden,
that's true. 59
in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how does he end up there? I mean, is he a fan? He's a Dodger fan.
He's wearing
Dodger.
The shirt. Yeah, the hoodie or whatever it was. Long sleeve.
I saw a pic of. Eddie Vedder high-fiving some lady at one of the games.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Rodney Pete did go to USC, so that would make sense. He's from Southern California.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I mean, it'd be cool to go to one of those if you had the means and everything, you know? So maybe that's what it is.
That'd be pretty awesome, especially if you're a fan of those teams. Even if you're not, that'd be cool.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Give them that.
I like it.
Yeah. It makes more sense than like NFL in England or something.
London.
Yeah. Give a shit. Even if people go to the game and have fun, it's just, there's no history. Like going to Japan for baseball is cool because, you know, baseball's big there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can never remember his name, but their version of the Cy Young Award is... named after a fellow who, like back in the 30s, the all-stars from the U.S. went over there and he struck out, like, I could get the names wrong here, but it was like Jimmy Fox, Lou Gehrig, and Babe Ruth all in a row or something crazy like that. Then he went to, ended up being a soldier in World War II. And that was it, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
I forget his name, but yeah, I think that's their Cy Young. So it goes back a ways. The U.S. was trying to get... baseball popular there a long time ago.
Oh, okay. They were trying to spread it back then.
Yeah.
Well, it worked. 100 years later, almost. We're back. Reaping the benefits with Rodney Pete.
It all culminated.
Look, we talked too much.
Well, this Rodney Pete thing came up and...
Yep. I think that's a first. Rodney Pete's name was mentioned.
Yeah.
I love
all bets are off.
I love the attitude. It's great.
Damn right I did. You gotta love that.
I'll do it again. Hit it over here.
All right, my vote is in.
Yep, mine is.
Mine is as well.
Same order, Chris, Nick. No, yeah, it was Chris, Nick, me, right?
No, I was last.
Okay, it was Chris, me, Nick. Same order's fine. Whatever we want to do.
All right.
I'm good. on you.
Ready?
Yep.
Rock.
No boner. Not ready to give it a boner yet.
Well, hey, man.
It just wasn't there for the boner.
If it's not there, it's not there. You look down and
no boner.
And just decided
no boner. But
see, if you voted it a boner, then you could say, damn right I did.
It's true. Well, if someone says, hey, you didn't give it a boner, I'd say, damn right. You said no boner. Damn right I did.
Either way, you'll have detractors.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I'm going back to what I said. In the right context, no problems with it. But upon first listen, not boner worthy. Hey, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 listens. I might be calling you guys back to come over and do part two. But that's where I stand. Rodney Pete's favorite podcast. Is that going to happen this week?
Might as well. As good as any.
That makes it easy for you.
Or I'll look up the Cy Young guy from Japan, and it might be his favorite podcast.
Could be.
Maybe it'll be Rodney King's favorite podcast. Could be.
I think that might have happened once before. Unless you weren't doing that gimmick on
I don't think
Twitter
I was back,
then. Back
with the Willie D. Yeah. Song. Well, it was the title of the song, so I would have been a little more creative than
okay.
that. So.
Okay.
Yeah, not that I'm above repeating it, but I can't remember when that gimmick started, but the handful of people who pay attention to that seem to be into it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the only thing interesting going on Twitter these days anymore.
That's a dump.
Completely destroyed by you know who.
It was no good.
It was a different
from the
no,
beginning.
It was a different no good, and it's.
I never liked it.
It's even worse. It's, no good now.
It's even because I'm going to make up a reason here, but what I see is now that you're paid for engagement. It's just a different ball game of the bullshit that people put up there. The whole point of everything is just engagement. There's no interesting conversation.
No. Anymore. Yeah, I don't pay attention really, and I mean, I still post stuff from our account, but in terms of like trying to actively grow the account, it's not happening.
Yeah, I just go in there to look at
cesspool,
occasional wrestling, and my Lakers. That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
Andy's apparently one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers now. With his My Lakers references.
Yep, that's right. About a month and a half in to being a Lakers fan of the year. Lifetime Achievement Award for Laker fan over here. Leaning into it. Why not?
Why not? Do it.
I decided. That's it. Why not?
You should.
What do I have to lose? Why can't I can have it, as we've established on the show?
You can
why can't
have
I just decide that I'm a Lakers fan
people
exclusively?
Do it all the time.
And also, I'm killing time because I don't really feel like doing a Yardo questions. Another thought I had, just in sports in general, I find it difficult to root for teams now. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and I have less patience, but I feel like, why don't I get to just pick, oh, that's a great player that this team randomly got. Why can't I just enjoy that player?
I like that better
Why do I have to root for the shitty team because they're geographically close to me, but I've been priced out of going to the games and they're on TV as often as every other team or less. If they're blacked out in your
area.
They're
never on.
Yeah, that's a problem around here, and I'm sure other people have that depending where you are. But, all the games are blacked out unless you pay for the premium whatever package for this. The worst team in the history of baseball has the balls to be on a whatever you call it, over-the-top platform or whatever, streaming service.
Well, these are the problems that come
literally
with
the worst team in the history of baseball. Comes out the next year and says, no more games for free on TV. You have to pay for them separately.
Well, they made history.
Well, it's similar to what did the Mavericks do? Bump up the prices after they shipped Luka out of town.
Yep. That's important. They needed to do that. It's for you.
Yeah.
to continue bringing you quality promotions or whatever shit they said, whatever.
Andy's just not having it.
Outrageous. outrageous behavior from these sports organizations.
I don't think we have any listeners from Dallas, but Andy's got something to say.
A lot to say.
To your basketball team.
Oh, my God.
Or at least the front office of your basketball team.
Absolute outrage. Complete miscalculation.
Speaking of basketball.
Well.
Andy told me this story I'd never heard. I just enjoyed it.
All right. Let's do this first. If you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with a basketball story. Okay, we're back. That was a good one. One of Nick's favorites.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
I can't take that one. I can't use that product anymore. The last time I did, I got abs and my penis doubled in size. No more of that for me.
That could be trouble.
Yeah, you don't need that.
At a certain age, you might want that kind of thing, but not now.
No more of that one. So, this story, we kind of hinted at it earlier. We might as well do it because I don't feel like doing Yardo questions. Maybe we'll get back to it next week. Submit your Yardo questions on podofthunder.com. I briefly brought this up to Nick, and I think it was 1999 or 2000 in high school, maybe junior in high school, something like that. My friend Brian Snyder, who was on episode 3, I think, of six or something.
Was it in the single? Top, it was in the first 10?
Single digit, I think. He was on the show. And we went to high school together, and we had this idea, like, okay, we probably watched White Men Can't Jump or something. Some idea came into his head, like, oh, we should do, because we were always trying to figure out schemes to hustle people, even though it never worked.
Now, was there actual... Did you actually envision financial gain?
Yes, okay. We envisioned it.
I just wanted to make sure.
It didn't get that far, but we envisioned it. We also had a similar thing about playing pool, and we realized we're both really bad at it, even worse than we were at basketball. So we thought, okay, we'll get into some kind of scam or scheme here. We were always trying to figure out how to make some money, right? That was our main conversation at lunch together. Like, all right, we're going to go to Man Park in Hegwisch, which is the southernmost neighborhood of Chicago, which was close to where we lived, and to go to a pickup game and see how we measure up against these guys who play together all the time, that show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we could determine what our future plans would be as far as hustling people for basketball, right? We just wanted to see, because we played together, you know, goofing around. We're like, let's go play with some other guys and see what's going on. So we go, and you know, you're shooting around before teams are picked, because it's like, you know, everyone line up and the captains who play all the time and who run the court, they pick who, you know, who's going to be on their team.
Mm. Right.
So we're all just hanging out. Guy gives me the ball, wants to see what's going on. I'm beyond the 3-point arc. First shot, perfect. Nothing but net. Gives me the change. I move over a few steps. Same thing. Third time. Again, 3 in a row. Made all 3 perfectly. I didn't miss a shot in the shoot around before.
And this is the first time any of these guys had seen you.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're like, oh, okay, this guy's good. He knows what he's doing, right? So the guy takes note of me, the captain or whatever. I don't know these guys' names. But he's like, oh, okay. And he's like talking to me, you know, between shots and after. So we all line up. He picks like whoever, his best buddy, whoever's good, another guy. And then I'm the 3rd pick out of everyone. Like, uh-oh. Because the spoiler here, I'm not good at basketball.
Well, you got the job, though.
I got the job. At that time, again, teenager, I could dribble, I could run, I could jump. All the body parts were healthy. But as far as aiming and, you know, exact precision for making shots, it was pure luck. You know, it wasn't a great skill that I had. So anyway, made the first 3 shots. Game starts. First play of the game, this guy drives into the lane, kicks the ball back to me beyond the 3-point arc, and goes, shoot!
Your neighborhood, apparently.
Yeah, that's where I'm living. And I'm like, I gotta do it, right? This is it. That's why he picked me. So I shoot a 3, air ball. But a perfect, like an accidental perfect pass to a guy on our team under the basket who catches it and throws it up for a layup. I quickly think, I want to avoid getting my ass kicked or stabbed. I point at the guy, like, I saw you, buddy. And then, so the guy, I think, was a little confused. He wasn't sure. next time the guy passes to me again, I refused to shoot for the rest of the whole game. I just kept passing
just
it off.
You're in preservation mode.
I was terrified these guys were going to beat the shit out of me. These were scary men that played all the time at this court. 17-year-old, 140-pound guy. So that was that for my basketball hustling. I think probably talked to Brian in the car ride home and said, I'm not cut out for this. I don't even remember how he did. He might have done great. He might have gone on with another partner and hustled. I don't know what he did.
I love that story, though.
Yep.
It's before the game, just... That's the hustle, unfortunately, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did a reverse hustle.
I did exactly the reverse hustle. Yeah, should have been shitty. Bet money.
Should have hit one, like, you know, kind of bounced on the rim a couple times and missed the others. You're not feeling it today.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Complete luck.
Well, it's not really a hustle if you start shitty and you continue to be shitty.
No.
But he started legendary.
Yeah.
Right, but that was the pure luck coming into play. It's not like he had an extra gear that you can kick into and suddenly be good.
My extra gear would be running away.
Right.
I mean, he was Larry Bird before the game, and he was Shaq beyond the 3-point line afterwards.
Yep. But I'm impressed to this day the quick thinking of a teenager to point at the guy as if I was to say, I did that on purpose. All you, buddy.
Huge fake out.
Yep. Okay, maybe he's got something here.
This guy's multidimensional. His court vision is incredible. His basketball IQ.
People love saying that. People love the basketball IQ. It's like the wrestling mind. It's the thing that people always say.
It's part of his move set.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, that's it for basketball talk today.
Might have to make a video of Andy hitting threes for the pod.
All right.
Pod of Thunder listeners.
We might have to bring a couple phones. It's going to run out of memory trying to actually capture me hitting threes.
You know, AI, there's leaps and bounds.
It's true.
Recently.
Yeah. Chris, were you ever a basketball guy?
No, I was just never had an aptitude for it.
Yeah. Nick was legendary, but actually, wasn't Tom Kodal pretty good?
Tom Kodal was good at everything.
He was good at everything, right? Like, but he didn't play anything in high school, did he?
He played baseball, tennis.
Okay. He did some stuff. And he was the Buddy Schrum Award winner at our school for best
all-around person.
Yeah, best human.
Basically is what that means.
Grades and athletics together, yep. All right. Well, we'll be back next week.
Episode 600.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. It's episode 600 next week.
Looks like I will not be picking one because I think we know what's
happening. Yeah, we've got something in mind for 600. It won't be along the lines of what we did today, so you listeners who hated today's episode can rest easy. It's worthy of the milestone episode, let's put it that way. Anybody who disagrees can just vamoose as soon as possible, because it's indisputable. I think we're all in agreement that it's a massive song worthy of the milestone episode.
600, wow. All right, we'll find out what it is next week. For Nick and Chris, I'm going to get in that bed.
Those notes as long as you can.